Saturday, September 1st, 2018. I hope that everyone has an enjoyable and safe Labor Day weekend. I actually went into labor with my first child on Labor Day. Not going to tell you the year, but I reminded him this morning of that fact when I was talking with him. Anyway, if it's going to be Labor Day, then you might as well go into labor, right? This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm broadcasting from the Chicago suburbs. Thanks for joining me today at republicbroadcasting.org. As always, I invite you to visit and subscribe to the following websites: SpingolaSpeaks.net, WoolliesBlog.blogspot.com, and ScreeningSandyHook.net. We will not be taking email questions today. If you have a question, post it in the chat room at spingola.chattango.com. Of course, we will take calls in the third hour. You may view our guest lineup at spingola.com. In addition to the links for each guest, I also have other interesting links relative to the guest or his or her subject. As I mentioned, we will take calls in the third hour at 800-313-9443. I've had a heck of a week. I'm not using a microphone today. My main computer that I use for my broadcast had fan failure, and so it's going to be fixed this week. So I had to kind of, I brought a laptop upstairs and hooked it up to the printer, and it didn't like my mic. So if I sound a bit tinny, that's why. I don't have a mic on, and I feel kind of naked without it. Anyway, I have a bit of a rant about something which I have strong feelings. I received an email newsletter from the Village on Friday, in which they announced that they would be conducting their mosquito abatement program Friday night. And I hope that you will seriously think about responding to your local authorities if they are exercising or conducting mosquito abatement programs. But anyway, this is what I said to them. And I quote, "Why does the Village insist on spraying for mosquitoes when there are relatively few people who experience West Nile virus, which is rarely deadly? The same spray that kills mosquitoes also kills the butterflies and the bees, insects that pollinate fruits and vegetables. The spray permanently disrupts the ecosystem. There are many ways that people can protect themselves from mosquito bites, just as they have for decades. The state of Illinois has experienced a huge number of bee colony collapses. If the spray is dangerous enough to warn people who have respiratory issues to close their doors and windows on the night of the spraying, then how much more dangerous is the spray to birds, small animals, including pets, and insects? Please note that the wide variety of birds that we used to see in our yards and parks has dwindled. The only benefactor in this situation is the chemical companies that make this noxious poison." I really get very upset about the fact that they do this all over the country without any regard for what they're doing to nature, to our environment. Anyway, enough of that. My guest today is John Dietrich. He is the author of The Morgenthau Plan: Soviet Influence on American Post-War Policy. His website is johndietrichbooks.blogspot.com. John, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. It's nice speaking with you.
Well, it's very nice to speak with you. I love your book. It's wonderful. I thought it was really funny in the first part of your book. You were talking about thanking your staff, and I thought, hey, he's got staff? How did he get staff? And then You were being facetious because, well, you didn't have a staff. And you acknowledged the fact. Well, here's what you said. I would like to thank the universities that assisted me in my research, my staff, and the archives that opened their doors to me. Unfortunately, I cannot. The manuscript was created from open sources available to any conscientious reader without assistance. So I just thought that was really funny. I do love your book. It's a wonderful book.
Well, there's a definite advantage of being on your own. I don't risk losing my job or coming out with an unpopular thought. You know, a lot of historians are under pressure to modify history. And now, one thing I want to make clear right from the start, this is not an anti-American book. You know, there's a school of history that's popular nowadays that any blemish, anything done by Americans that might be criticized is, you know, put up front in the schools to teach Americans how bad they are. This is about the progressives that were running the country in the 40s, and this is the origin of a lot of the deep state. The book puts a lot of emphasis on an individual by the name of Harry Dexter White. He was one of the most important people in the 20th century. Nobody knows who he was. He was the creator of the modern global economic system, the father of the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund. And I've asked quite a few people from both of those organizations if they knew who he was, and they didn't even know. He was the founder of their organization.
Wow. Now, you said that you didn't have to worry about being fired. So are you retired? Or
I'm retired. But I wrote this book while I was still employed.
Uh-huh.
And I don't hesitate to speak my mind, and that probably accounts for my lack of, I didn't go up in the chain of command like I could have. I had the potential, but I was a little too critical of things.
What about friends? Have you lost friends or relatives over your views?
You know, very few people. Yeah, you know, I've discussed this with a few people, and very few people have any clue. I was just reading an article from the head of the Heritage Foundation on how wonderful we were. You know, following the Second World War, we were just very generous, and that was not actually the case. I mean, what was done was it was a crime. It was a crime against humanity, and it was designed by White to be that way, in the hope that Europe would go communist. You know, he was a Soviet agent of influence, and his design was to destroy the economy of Western Europe, and he almost succeeded. By 1947, Italy and France were on the verge of electing communist governments. And that's what motivated us to come up with the Marshall Plan.
Well, the Marshall Plan, too, was actually kind of a situation where we would lend, or the United States government would lend money to various countries to rebuild, but then they would have to work through specific contractors, pretty much the same as they do in Iraq and other places. The Marshall Plan was not of great benefit except to the people who were awarded the contracts. In other words, you go in and you destroy a country, and then the people with connections to the U.S. government can go in and presumably build it up again, or at least collect the money for building it up again. Isn't that correct?
Well, yeah, well, actually, more important than the Marshall Plan was the fact that Joint Chief of Staff's Directive 1067 was replaced. You know, this was basically the Morgenthau Plan for the which was imposed on the U.S. zone, and it restricted trade, and there were all kinds of things that were designed to destroy the economy.
That's true, including.
So once those restrictions were lifted, they had the economic miracle.
We were told that, and I think too that we were really told what to think about the war, because there was a lot of programming, propaganda, the newsreels. It was supposedly the good war, and we went, or the United States and its allies went in, and they destroyed those horrible, horrible Germans, and we had a lot of propaganda, and of course...
Oh, yeah. I got a quote from Eisenhower. A continent has been liberated from all that is an antipathy to the ideal of democracy, which is our common heritage. Of course, you know, the Soviets gobbled up half of Europe, and of course, he included them in the democracies and current common heritage. You know, Life magazine came out with an article that essentially said the U.S. population and the Russian population are essentially the same. You know, we're just like them.
Well, didn't he backed off and allowed the Soviets to come in and take land that they shouldn't have? Well, what the word that they used was liberate, correct?
Yeah. They liberated Eastern Europe.
Yeah, right.
Well, you know, there's a lot of evidence. Well, certainly the U.S. military could have taken Prague. I mean, there were a number of places that we relinquished. We allowed the Soviets to take Prague and Vienna and Berlin. And it's quite possible that we could have taken those capitals. We could have ended the war a lot sooner than we did. The Morgenthau Plan was described as psychological warfare in reverse. I mean, we made it clear that the Atlantic Charter was not going to apply to Germany and that we were going to enslave their people. And this is... there's an author, John Koster, who covered this. There was a Soviet agent came to the U.S. and met with Harry Dexter White and provided him with an ultimatum that was to be given to the Japanese, which would precipitate a war with Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And I lost my train of thought right there. And,
of course, they had sanctions against Japan for quite some time, and Japan had a lot of money in this country and depended on imports to even run their economy, and
they had
sanctions. Did you find yourself?
They had them thoroughly blockaded. I mean, there was no chance. You know, they had to surrender, and they were willing to surrender. You know, a lot of things are coming out now, you know, this is 70 years later, that have been suppressed.
Right. Well, they surrendered in December before they dropped those two gifts on Japan. They already surrendered.
Yeah.
And they surrendered to and used the same criteria that the government, the U.S. government, later gave to them. But But the U.S. government would not accept their surrender agreement in December because they had these bombs they wanted to test.
Well, the Japanese wanted to retain their emperor. You know, supposedly this was unconditional surrender that we insisted on. We got it in Germany, and we're going to do it in Japan, too. And there was a condition. They wanted to retain the emperor, and they were allowed to. And, you know, one of the other benefits of prolonging the war was allow the Soviets time to move into Manchuria and Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And they picked up several hundred thousand slave laborers doing that and got arms to provide to the Red Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
And, these things were, there were people in the United States government planning on this, working for the benefit of the Soviets.
Right. There was Whitaker Chambers, who was a Soviet agent, and he claimed that FDR was merely a puppet and that a group of communists were actually running the country. And this group included Bernard Baruch, Samuel Rosenman, Raymond Moley, Felix Frankfurter, Henry Morgenthau Jr. and Sr., Harry Dexter White, who you've mentioned, Alger Hiss, Benjamin J. Cardoza, Charles W. Taussig, Nathan Margold, and on and on and on. Well, Roge Schneiderman, Isidore Lubin, just a whole bunch of people that were running things. And FDR was just, I refer to him as the red in the White House.
Well, he was sympathetic. I mean, he may have been a puppet, but he was sympathetic with this group.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, one of the fascinating things I learned in my reading is that, you know, he was arrested 4 times by the Germans. Had you ever heard of that?
No.
Yeah, he was arrested and I think it was in the course of 1 or 2 days. And of course, you know, it was in his youth, and he was, you know, he was a young American, thought he was a big shot, and he could get away with everything or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And Wilhelmine, Germany was a very strict place. And and that might account for his dislike of the Germans.
Hmm. Well, he came from a family that had the same mentality for quite some time, to the early 1800s. Huh. So what was he arrested for? Just being obnoxious?
I think one incident was, you know, he was passing an orchard and he was helping himself to some fruit. And, you know, I mean, and nowadays a kid doing that, you know, if the police were to see that, they'd say, hey, cut that out, move along.
Sure.
But in that society, you know, they didn't tolerate any type things.
Mm-hmm. Now, what was the, that was before when, in the 20s?
You know, it may have even, you know, I'm not sure of that. I'll look that up. It's in Peterson's book on Germany. And let me see.
Oh, I think is that our music? I think we're going to a break. No, we are.
Oh.
Okay, we'll be right back in 3 minutes.
Okay, great.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
And our guest today is John Dietrich, and he is the author of The Morgenthau Plan, Soviet Influence on American Post-War Policy. He also was very instrumental in the Middle East also. He was kind of a scoundrel. Anyway, John's website is johndietrichbooks.blogspot.com, and his last name is spelled D-I-E-T-R-I-C-H. If you just say Diet Rich, that's a good way of remembering how to spell his name. Let me just share something from the chat room. Life is a dream for the wise, a game for the fool, a comedy for the rich, a tragedy for the poor. I had mentioned earlier that I'm wearing a T-shirt that says, rich people start wars, poor people die in them, and their children pay for them. So I think that's pretty apropos. Yeah. Would you agree with that?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Okay. We're talking about Roosevelt, and you mentioned that he had been arrested, and and of course, there were other people you mentioned previously. You mentioned Eisenhower, who absolutely detested the Germans. And it wasn't just one German, it was all of them. And of course, he's famous for the encampments, over 200 encampments that he built, where he, you can't say that he housed German prisoners because there was no buildings. They were out in the environment, rain, snow, heat, no water, no food, with just a big ditch that they were supposed to use as a latrine. So we don't hear too much about that, but we hear about other things. Anyway, why don't you pick up where you left off? Wherever that
was.
Well,
mentioning Eisenhower, he turned over several hundred thousand German POWs to the Soviets as a gesture of friendship. Now, these people were, well, supposedly we adhered to the Geneva Convention. And, yeah, I know. You know, you laugh, but this is really a tragic thing.
It is.
It makes no sense to abuse your opponent unnecessarily, because he's just going to fight harder. You know, word got out. Now, of course, a lot of this stuff was done once the surrender was done. So, the Germans couldn't retaliate. Yeah. But, of course, the Japanese could. You know, this had... The Japanese were watching what was going on in Europe, and they had, you know, plenty of communications with Europe. And one of their reasons for, you know, to fight to the death. Why? What have you got to lose? You know, if you're going to be enslaved, or, you know, even worse.
Right, and they had that mentality. That's how they, some of them became kamikaze pilots, and. They were willing to give up their life for something more honorable
for their country, for their wives and mothers and daughters and others. You know, you have to admire them in a way. I mean, they were fighting for their country.
Sure, they were,
and like an American would, you know,
right.
There are examples of people who've died, you know, given up, you know. Jumped on hand grenades or whatever, you know, and we admire those people.
Now, you mentioned that Eisenhower had turned over a lot of POWs to the Soviets. They were also using them in France and in Britain to do dangerous work, such as locating mines and dangerous work, which is also against the Geneva Convention, that you already mentioned, so which is also it's horrendous, terrible. Okay, we have a quick through the break. We'll be right back with our guest.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on. And learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Home. homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it. At AROutfitting.com.
And our guest today is John Dietrich. He is the author of The Morgenthau Plan, Soviet Influence on American Post-War Policy. His website is johndietrichbooks.blogspot.com. According to the Labor Department, about 11 million people were out of work when FDR took office. He installed radicals, Fabian socialists, Stalin apologists, and communists in his administration. In addition to the Soviet communists, Roosevelt and his wife Eleanor were friendly toward the Chinese communists. Harry Hopkins, an FDR advisor, influenced significant decisions and policies. He represented Bernard Baruch and the International Jewish Banking Cartel. From 1937 through May 1944, Hopkins and Baruch were in continuous communication. So we see the beginnings of the Morgenthau Plan, which I hope that we can define exactly what it is. Horrible, horrible plan. But anyway, please continue. John, are you there?
FDR made a statement in October 1944. The German people are not going to be enslaved because the United Nations do not traffic in human slavery.
Oh, never think of it. My goodness, the UN is just such a humanitarian unit. Oh, my goodness, they would never allow trafficking, sex trafficking, organ trafficking. Why, they're just the world's policeman on all this horrible stuff that could happen. They're just a terrific entity. Baloney.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the Morgenthau Plan, the memo given to FDR, is, one of the points is restitution and reparations, D, by forced German labor outside Germany. Now, this was incorporated in the Yalta Protocol. And the second provision there is reparations in kind is to be extracted from Germany in the three following forms. And C was use of German labor. Now, General Patton wrote in his diary, I'm also opposed to sending POWs to work as slaves in foreign lands, in particular France, where many will be starved to death.
Right.
James Bakke wrote a book about this, and he was vilified by Stephen Ambrose, who's probably the premier historian of that time. And it's funny, the Eisenhower Library, the director of the Eisenhower Library, has called out Ambrose as a fraud. He said a whole bunch of stuff that was not true about his relationship with Eisenhower. Bakke claimed that the French and the U.S. had starved to death approximately a million POWs.
Right.
And Ambrose disputed that. Now, my research, you know, and I'm an amateur, actually, you know, and I don't, like I said, I don't have a staff, but I come up with at least 350,000 people missing. You know, we had an agreement with the French wanted 1,700,000 POWs, and we were supplying them, and it was coming out that they were looking like, after a while, they looked like Dachau inmates. Yeah, so they put a stop to it periodically, you know, for a short time, and then restarted it. And we were supplying these slaves to the French and the British. You know, the British had 250,000 slaves. Yeah, you know, they. Churchill was against it. When Attlee took over control of the British government, they started using. Well, they had the slaves already, but they started. They kept them for I don't know how many years.
Yeah, Churchill is such a stellar person.
Yeah,
I'm being facetious. Well, you know, it's very.
Oh, wait. Well, the point I was trying to make was that there are when they return the Secretary of State Burns made an agreement for the release of these POWs, and you know he came out and said it's regrettable that thousands of people are still in enforced labor, and he didn't say slavery, he said enforced labor. And he said thousands. Well, actually, at that time, he made that statement, there were 4 million people in slavery. And they were used to clear mines. There's an excellent movie that was put out not too long ago, A Land of Mine. And it's about these kids who, you know, towards the end of the war, the Germans were desperate, and they were enlisting children in the Wehrmacht. And so they had these kids, and they were using them to clear mines and, you know, showed the fatalities. And, you know, and of course, as you know, it was against the Geneva Convention.
Right.
It's a powerful movie. And this is another, you know, years ago, this movie would not have been produced. But as people are, you know, less indoctrinated with the propaganda, they're willing to look at stuff like this.
that's true. And of course, the internet has a lot to do with this.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's why the internet has to be shut down. You know, there's a big move to, you know, censor people on Twitter and Facebook and, you know, social media for hate speech. You know, what we're doing right now is hate speech. You know, this is the left cannot tolerate the openness. Because they have so much to hide.
Well, whether it's the left or the right, I think both the left and the right have a lot to hide. And I don't believe in censorship, even for people like Alex Jones. If people want to listen to him, they should have the right.
Right, nice. But there's a big move in this country. You know, of course, you know, try to get a speaking engagement on a college campus. It can't be done anymore for conservatives.
Well, that's true. Of course, the educational system is under the U.S. government. Even private institutions are funded by certain people with objectives.
Oh, of course. Well, you know, everybody has an objective. You know, but it's, you know, some of the objectives are pretty objectionable. But like I said, you know, there's a lot to be, a lot of bogus history. And I'll give you an example. There's a professor, Jeffrey Orlick, and you know, he was, and may still be at the University of Virginia. And he wrote a book, House of the Hangman. And he says, Harry Dexter White was accused in 1948 by Joseph McCarthy's House Un-American Activities Affairs Committee of being a Soviet agent. Now, on the face of it, that's an idiotic statement in the first place. Senators don't have House committees.
And
now, the funny thing about this was this factoid was repeated by Bill O'Reilly on his program. Yeah, you know, he's supposedly a history buff.
Big mouth. He's an arrogant big mouth.
Well, I think it was Ann Coulter. He was interviewing and Ann Coulter informed him that senators don't have House committees. And certainly McCarthy was not doing this in 1948. Now, and that's what we're up against. You know, historians that are intentionally distorting the record.
Sure. And that's always been the case. As soon as they, when Rockefeller and Carnegie took over the educational system of the United States in 1906, when they actually created the Department of Education, they planned to distort history. You distort history and you can rewrite and do anything that you want. And when you distort history, you can also create your present and work from there. And based on false history, a false narrative, you can pretty much get away with murder, slaughter of people in a lot of countries. And now it's interesting that the United States had severed diplomatic relations with Russia on December 6, 1917, because the Bolsheviks had refused to honor debts that the Tsarist government had incurred. Henry Morgenthau and Dean Acheson, both Felix Frankfurter proteges, invited Maxim Litvinov, who was born Litvinov Finkelstein, to the White House to finalize recognition of the Soviet Union with FDR, something the Soviets had sought for 17 years. So we see right off that as soon as FDR took office, 1934, one of the first things he did was recognize the Soviet Union. And that really tells you what his objectives were. And you were mentioning...
He chose Morgenthau to work out those negotiations.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, Walter Duranty was also involved in that. Duranty had just written stuff for the New York Times covering up the Ukrainian famine.
Yes. My gosh. The things that the lies he told, he should be hung. But hopefully it's not the place now that he's resting in or burning in.
His plaque for his Pulitzer Prize is still hanging in the New York Times' lobby or wherever they keep those plaques.
I'm pretty... I'm not objective here. It just infuriates me what has happened to various countries, to the slaughter in numerous lands.
The number of people killed in the last century. It's just incredible. Just incredible.
Yes. Yes. In the wars, 100 million people. And of course, what did Stalin say? One death is a, what did he say? But a million is a. So, which tells you what kind of person this is. But, when you think about FDR, he was supposedly from a wealthy capitalist family. He created and transformed America into a communist state. He legitimized the Bolsheviks after they had plundered Russia and starved and slaughtered millions of Russians. I have no respect whatsoever for FDR. Or other members of his family.
He was a criminal. I mean, the things that he did were just criminal. And I found this thing on him getting arrested. It's in Peterson's The American Occupation of Germany, Retreat to Victory. It's on page 21. And he says, based on his experience in Germany of Kaiser Wilhelm, so this is before World War I, such as being arrested four times in one day. Yeah. And he doesn't give the circumstances.
Well, he's an arrogant American who thought he could do whatever he wanted, wherever he wanted, and it didn't work for him.
Well, unfortunately, he didn't serve much time.
Right. Huh. And then, of course,
I don't know what he did.
Okay, so let's talk exactly, excuse me, what the Morgenthau plan was.
Well, it was a plan to for the occupation of Germany, and it had all kinds of provisions in it. One was the slave labor. Another thing was the intent to starve the German people. It's the original, before Morgenthau was involved in this, the original planning said starvation should be, or starvation should be prevented that might endanger the occupation forces. And once Morgenthau wrote it, or actually White, it said it, and starvation would be permitted, unless it, you know, was really the U.S. troops were in danger. So,
well, starvation was a really big factor after World War I in Germany. Okay, we are at the top of the we're at a break. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
Okay.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.com. Dr. Sam Serino reviewed the Extendivite product. Good ingredients, feeling much better since taking product. It seems that the tablets work well. Once again, thank you for your product. My acid reflux is really improved thanks to the Extendivite. Together with my thumb joints, the pain is gone and I'm able to grip things much better. My friend has peripheral arterial disorder and their lower legs were hurting at a red color, but thankfully there has been a significant improvement. Kind regards, Janice. My husband feels a big difference using Extendivite. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Okay, sorry about that. Our guest today is John Dietrich. He is the author of The Morgenthau Plan, Soviet Influence on American Post-War Policy. His website is johndietrichbooks.blogspot.com. All righty. Um, So there were some books that came out, and we talked about before or after World War One. I think that of World War One and Two, there was just a short break so that the Allies could rearm themselves and develop weapons and bombs and such. And that's what they were doing. Meanwhile, while America and Britain were spending money on warfare, on creating more warfare, and while America was really in a severe depression, and people still had outhouses and standing in soup lines and pretty much starving, people in Germany were building railroads, they were building highways, they were building buildings, and they did it all without credit. It was kind of an amazing thing. And in 1918, Morgenthau's father was a political appointee, and he wrote a book describing the Armenian genocide when he was a U.S. ambassador to the Ottoman Empire. And that's also something that people rarely hear about, but I did mention that earlier, that he was really one of the people that influenced the Ottoman Empire breakup, including the genocide of between 1 to 1.5 million people. And, of course, the newspapers didn't say a whole lot about this. But anyway, talking about the Morgenthau Plan, you said that one of the factors, one of the things that they were going to include was the starvation and the slave labor. And they did not feed their slave labor well or house them well. And anyway, there were some books that were written before the war, before World War II, that talked about that were really propaganda. And one of them was written by Theodore N. Kaufman, K-A-U-F-M-A-N. And he wrote this book. And there was, it was called Germany is Our Problem. And it was kind of interesting because Germany was busy working on their country. They had no intention of engaging in war. And Poland, the Polish actually did sorties over German lines 8 times or more. And Germany did not respond. But anyway, let's talk about what else the Morgenthau Plan included.
Well, it also included the ceding land to Poland and the Soviet Union and the ethnic cleansing of Eastern Europe. And this is one of the... This is an incredible the greatest movement of people in the history of the world.
We're at the top of the hour. We'll be right back. Sorry about that.
Okay.
Enzyme in the liver, get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.